Right now, I welcome in the champ, the WBC Heavyweight Championship of the World, Deontay Wilder. Welcome inside the game. I hope you're doing well, my friend.
I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
Good, good. When you heard that, I'm sure you probably listened to it 100 times, but what's going through your mind right now?
Well, you know, I'm still excited, you know. But, you know, truth be told, Ryan, when I woke up this morning, I felt like I would say, hey, man. I mean, today, it felt like just a regular day. You know, even though I got the WBC belt, this is the most prestigious belt in all of boxing. But, you know, I still feel, you know, just, you know, the celebration over with, time for something new, you know. I feel like it's just a new day. And some people may be saying, man, he's crazy. You know, why would he say that? You know, that he got the most famous belt in boxing. And I say that because, you know, I'm just not satisfied with just this belt, you know. It's so many things that I want, and this is just the beginning. This is the stepping stone of everything I want to accomplish in life. You know, it's more to this, and I want to achieve all. So I'm not going to be satisfied until I achieve everything I set plan for to reach, and I'm going to get it. You know, with Berman, when he got the title, he was happy that he was WBC champion, you know, because I guess it was his main goal. His main goal was to be champion, and he acceded to that expectation. My main goal is not only just be champion, but be the undisputed heavyweight champion. And while I'm undisputed heavyweight champion, I want to change the world a little bit, you know. I want to do so much more. So, but overall, I'm excited to bring the belt back to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, baby.
No doubt about it. I mean, man, you're adopting one from Nick Saban here, the 24-hour rule as far as celebration. So Nick Saban says don't celebrate a win more than 24 hours. Sounds like Deontay's adopted that, but certainly – Deontay, I told you this afternoon, I have been a part of a lot of football games. This is a football town. Now it's going to become a boxing town. You've done it for years, but I think a lot of people are now, the electricity throughout this weekend, you could not have cut it with a knife. It was as electric as I can remember a Saturday night in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Yeah, man, I've been hearing stories and stuff like that, man. You know, it just... man, I wish I was here to see the electrifying energy that was coming through the city. You know, people was telling me all over, and just hearing you say it now, it's just, I only could imagine. You know, it's one of those things that you got to be here to see it instead of hear it, and then somebody else tell you because they were there. I wish I was here to see it. That's something that goes in the history books right there. This lets you know how far that boxers have came in Alabama, period. You know, we set forth a commission years ago after the Olympics, and look how God works, man. It developed into what it is now.
Certainly amazing. All right, so let me sort of walk you through a lot of this, okay? And I want to go back to the fight, and I want to go 24 hours prior. You go to that weigh-in, 219. When I saw 219 flash up there, let me tell you what went through my mind. You were 227, I believe, your last fight. I looked at my friends and I said, he has worked his butt off,
yes, sir,
to lose weight in that training camp, and that's why he's at 219. Am I right?
Man, you're totally correct. But, you know, I didn't work my butt off to lose weight. It's just something that's just happened. When you're working hard,
sure,
like that, it just happened. You know, I had a four-month camp that's with strength trainer, one of the best strength trainers in the world, Peter Corey, and with my team at Sky Boxing, we bust our butts, man, each and every time. And, you know, through hard work, that's just how I got down. But, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, when people, you know, when they look at heavyweights or hero weight, they want to see bodybuilders and they want to see this outrageous 240, 250s. And I tell them all the time, I'd rather be the part than look the part, you know, because looking the part ain't going to get you nowhere. But being that part, as long as I hit like I'm supposed to hit, that's all that matters.
Deontay, I want to go back to, and I want to talk a little bit about the fight, but I also want to go back. When you came in, who gave you the outfit design? Is that something Deontay Wilder came up with? I mean, I sort of like the look. Who came up with that?
I designed the whole thing, you know.
Did
I designed
you really?
The whole
okay.
thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like a 50 shades of bronze, almost like a dragon scale kind of type light. But I designed the whole. Sometimes I get images in my head, I get thoughts, I get ideas in my head, and I put it on paper. Then I send it off and let them bring it to life, you know. So it's only going to get better, man. I got a lot of people that want to work with me on uniforms, and even though I'm with Everlast, you know, they work, you know, they tend to, you know, have no problem working with people, especially with material and making stuff. As long as they have that logo on there, they good. So I got a lot of little different things that I want to make interesting, and that makes it exciting heavyweight, you know, not only just the performance and everything about that heavyweight, but the outfit as well, too, is a big part of the show.
Deontay, I don't even know, and you're going to have to help me, and I'm, excuse me, it just you pardon me here on what I'm going to ask you, but the guy that brought you in that had a car accident and was doing the music, tell us who that was. We're already having people that are asking me, how do you get that the album? Who was that? Because you shared that moment with him.
Well, his name, his real name, Anthony Webster. And, yeah, that's like one of my guys that I grew up with in the amateurs. He was a great fighter himself. He would have been definitely a great addition to the heavyweight division. You know, he was the only guy we knew that was 240 pounds, and he could hit a backer flip or a no-hand backer flip in place. You know, and he could move. As a big guy, he can definitely move. But he ended up making the national team one day, and he never exceeded past that level before. He never gained that level before, and coming back home, you know, a drunk driver struck him and took his life away from him. And when I mean by life, I mean his boxing life. It took everything away from him. That was his everything. That was his basketball and football in school, you know what I'm saying, or outside of school. That was his joy and love. And somebody took it away from him. A drunk driver took it away from him. And so he told me that he was rapping and stuff like that, and I heard some of his music, and I was like, wow, he got a talent. You know, he got some good stuff. And I told him, I'm like, bro, I want to give you an opportunity to walk me out on a big stage. You know, not only was it a big stage for me, but it was also giving somebody else an opportunity to make their debut on a big stage. And he never done nothing but, you know, maybe YouTube stuff. And, well, I mean, all of a sudden, your first performance on a worldwide stage, man, that's huge. And I wanted to give him that opportunity because I had a famous, well-known artist lined up for me. But I felt like it would mean a lot more to Amp than it would mean to this other person. So I said, I'm going to let Amp do it because it means so much more to him. And he did it, and he did a well job of what he did, and we're proud of him.
No.
So it's just the beginning for him. You know, we that sky's the limit now. You know, he done surpassed a lot of people already just by doing that. So God good.
No doubt about it, and you certainly always – take a minute to give God the glory. I had the audio clip here, and we're going to play that in a couple of minutes, immediately after the fight. Certainly, God has brought you an amazing way, but you continue to give him the glory. And, hey, he loves the praise of his people, and you're certainly doing that.
No, definitely. You got to acknowledge where your help come from. Like I said in my message at the end of the fight, you know, God is good. If you give him a try, you'll find out that he's all right. You know, he's all right, God, man. You know, you just got to trust and believe.
Deontay, let me go back to the fight for a couple of minutes, and let me talk about the jab. Deontay, listen, I've watched you for a long time fight the amateurs, in the Olympics. Tell me who's improved the jab. What have you done? Because that thing is dangerous.
Yes, it is. And, you know, Ryan, truth be told, I always had it, you know. I just needed to use it in that situation of it needed to be used in, if I can put it in that sense. You know, meaning that in all my other fights, you know, I really didn't need it too much because once I set them up with the jab, the power hand have gotten them out of there. So I always said if I got a guy in there that could just withstand my right hand or whatever, you know, that I would use more weapons that I have in my arsenal, you know. And Berman was the perfect guy for me to use everything I needed to use. When people had questions about me or what they needed answers for, you know, Berman was that perfect guy. You know, after the fourth round, I knew I was in for a fight, and I said, okay, let's do it. So I let him fault my fight instead of me fighting his. And I came out with that jab. And, you know, I still got to give credit to my trainer, my longtime trainer, of course, JDs. We worked hard. And when Mark come in, you know, got to give credit to the former Olympics, 2004 Olympic gold medalist and two-time welterweight champion, Mark Breland as well, too, along with some of my other guys in the camp. But we worked hard, man, and it was the perfect time at the perfect moment to just bring out Deontay Wilder. So I welcomed the world, Deontay Wilder, in a hell of a performance to show them, you know, I'm just not a four-round fighter. And if you question me about can I go past the four rounds, I tell people, you know, you should sit back and analyze your question and ask yourself, seriously asking that question to an elite athlete that does this for a living? You know, this is my job. This is what I do for a living. And to ask me, can I go past four rounds, that's just crazy. And for those that didn't think I could take a punch or wondered, now you have your answer. And, you know, I can not only take it, but dash it as well as I can take it. So it should be no more questions. I gained a lot of fans that night, Ryan. I answered a lot of questions for a lot of people that night. And they're on board, man. Everybody loved the performance. It was electrifying in there. And I'm just excited that we fought at the MGM Grand, got an opportunity to do that. And I'm just ready for what's next with Deontay Wilder.
Oh, I mean, I seen everybody from Magic Johnson to all the fighters, but I mean, celebrity. I don't even know if you've had a chance. I mean, Twitter's probably been buzzing. Your phone's probably dead from text messages. You'd have seen the celebrities. It was fun to even watch those interact. And I'm going, hey, that's Tuscaloosa's right there, man. That is Tuscaloosa's Deontay Wilder. All right, Deontay. I don't want to talk about anything you don't want to talk about, but I want to ask you about the hand. It's been reported that it's been fractured. Tell us about when you broke the hand or when you fractured the hand. Don't tell us anything you don't want us to know, but talk a little bit about the hand and what sort of the status there.
Right. Well, not only my hand, Ryan. Truth be told, I came into this fight handicapped. Not only was my hand, I banged my hand up. Round by the fourth or fifth round, I fractured it. But I came into the fight with one eye. The night before the fight, I was doing a workout and did a stretch before the shakeout stretch, and I was stretching with this rubber band and that you put apply pressure to it, it stretched you out a little good, but it ended up rolling off my feet, hit me right dead in my eye, and the force was so hard that it knocked me to the floor. I think it put me to sleep a little bit, and I woke up. But
did it hit harder than Stavern?
Definitely.
No, I'm just teasing about that. I mean,
yeah, you're right. It definitely hit harder than Stavern. Man, I swear, I think I went to sleep and dreamt a little bit, and then woke back up. But when I got off the floor, I could not open my eyes because my eyes were swollen so bad. And when I got the opportunity to open my eyes, all I seen was black and white. And so I had one of my personal doctors there. He treated me and took care of me. And so by that next day, I was able to see just a little bit. It was cloudy for me to see. But I said, hey, man, I came this far. And God allowed me to get this far. And ain't no need to turn it back around now because I know he got me in his hands. And so I went in there with one eye. But I had strong – when you got strong will and a big heart, that's gonna be hard to stop a man, especially if he ain't doing it for himself, but doing it for his daughter, and not only his daughter, his family, and his city and state. Man, that's a hard man to beat. So later on in the fourth or fifth round, I end up fracturing my hand, but I still had to throw it because boxing is a bluffing game. You can't let your opponent know that you're hurt and stuff. That automatically get him more momentum. He ain't gonna get tired now because he see a wounded dog now, and I didn't want to show that. You know, I kind of stopped throwing right hands a little bit and just started working that jab, the beautiful jab that I have, and I just started working it. And but I feel if I didn't hurt my hand, definitely would have been a knockout. That's for sure.
Did your corner know that your hand was hurt?
Well, Jay said he knew it. He seen me throw a punch and I shook it. And Jay know me well enough to know me when I'm in different circumstances and if I'm hurting or not, because he's been with me since the start. And when I told him I hurt my hand, he immediately looked back at the other guys and said, "I know it. I told you guys that he hurt his hand, and I definitely hurt my hand." But I had to do what I had to do. to get the win. Right now, my hand is big as a 18-wheel truck tire. It's all good. It's all good. I'm gonna be good. You know, I'm just healing right now from all the stuff that went on in the fight, and just the momentum of the fight and everything that come with it. You know, some people don't know, even if you go through the first round of a 12 round, when you're preparing for a fight, man, you got so much pressure and stress. So much build up on you that when you finish the fight, it's just like a relief and everything just falls down. It's over.
Deontay, final question, and remember now, we're on radio, so if he said something that doesn't need to be on the radio, let's not say it, but I want to go back to Stavern. What was he saying inside that ring that he kept talking?
Keep
it clean.
Keep it clean. All right, well, he was just telling me of course he was using profanity. Fight me, stand in the middle of the ring and fight me. He was like saying, you're getting tired. And all this, I was telling him, like, your eyes swelling up. And I kept hearing, your eyes swelling up. Like, you're tired. You know, he said, your eyes red. You know, like, you didn't do it. You know, we were just having, like, a conversation in there. Even when we it got to the point where we tied up in the ropes and stuff, I was having a conversation with him. It was kind of funny to me. I knew that the more he talked to me, I knew that the more I was respecting him. Because most time when fighters talk, and you know that they're not winning, that they're trying to knock you off your game and stuff like that. That, you know, they need some kind of momentum and stuff. Because if you keep hitting me, now I'm talking to you. Now, and the more you hit me and I'm taking your punches, you're like, dang, he's taking all the punches. And he talking. Like, you lose your momentum. Now you like you feel like there's nothing you can punch now because he's taking everything. But if you could – still apply pressure, you keep doing what you're doing, and you just talk about it, you do what you're doing, you now cannot, and you don't let him break your confidence. Now his momentum is being lost each and every time because he's like, damn, it's not working, and he's still hitting me. So that's basically what it was. It was just a professional trick that he was trying to do, but I'm a seasoned professional, and I handle business, baby.
Deontay, on behalf of the great state of Alabama, behalf of Tuscaloosa, we are as proud of you as amazing. I mean, if you don't believe in the American dream, from a guy that worked at IHOP to Red Lobster to driving a beer truck to now the WBC Heavyweight Championship of the World, you don't believe in the American dream that someone from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, can be the heavyweight champion of the world. Can you believe it? Bomb Squad, my friend. Bomb Squad.
Yes, sir, baby. All day, man. I just want to tell Alabama that I love you guys. And like I said, I promise I'm not going nowhere, man. We started right here. We're building right here. And it's just the beginning right here. You know, the whole world finna know Alabama. And I ain't going to have to say sweet home Alabama when I go out of the countries no more, because they already know. When you got a world champion, it's nothing, Ryan. I mean nothing. Like a world champion, and Alabama got their world champion.
Hey, I asked you for 10 minutes, and we talked 18. Deontay, I'm sorry I went over. Go get some rest, my friend, and I appreciate you giving me some time. Man, we're proud of you. We're celebrating it with you, and we'll look forward to doing that on Saturday with the big parade here in Tuscaloosa. And the next thing I'm going to campaign for, I want to rename 15th Street Wilder Boulevard.
Man, that would be so sweet, man.
No, I mean seriously, man. I mean, listen, you're the heavyweight champion of the world. I mean, hey, I know. Listen, you don't celebrate it. You go work and get healed up. We'll celebrate it, man. I'm gonna call the mayor out.
That'll be awesome because you know you only come across a champion sometime, never, but once in a lifetime. You know, to get ready to fight for world title is once in a lifetime, you know, man. And I've done it, and I brought it back to Alabama to name a street that's been there for a while. After me, that'll be amazing.
Well, I'm starting the campaign. I may not get anywhere, but I'm starting the campaign.
Hey, man, that sounds good. I might have to, if they don't do that, I might have to leave now.
No.